Well, Papa, oh, it's so good to be here. Amen. Bless hearts this morning, Papa. And Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for speaking to everybody here. Thank you for the message that you want to bring to our hearts this morning, Lord. Give us ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. Well, Asini, you didn't know what the name of my message series is, but it's called The Journey. Where is she? I started preaching this last week because I believe that God has got the body of Christ on a journey. And I think it's a fascinating journey that we're in. I think this is one of the time periods that we're going to look back on. And, you know, if you ever said, oh, I wish that I was alive during that. Or, oh, wouldn't it have been great to be part of that time. I believe we're in one of those times. And I believe that there are people who will look back on this time and say, that's when the next move of God started. Because I believe that we're on the brink of something happening in the body of Christ that we're all calling out for. See, the Bible talks about the former rain and the latter rain. The former rain was Pentecost, and we look back at what happened on the day of Pentecost and what happened through the book of Acts, and we go, wow, that's great. But I believe that people are crying out at this time, God, we want to see more. We want to see what you have for us. And that's why today I want to talk about the journey towards more. Because I think God's got more for us. Oh, I am preaching to the right bunch of people this morning. That's good to know. And I think as we look into the book of Acts, that God has hidden some things there for us. And as we look at the journey that the disciples went through from the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, then they move towards the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I think God's got some little wee nuggets there for us to pick up and lay hold of and say, God, we want to see that and to start moving through this journey that God has for us. So last time we looked at these different aspects in chapter 1, and we looked at chapter 1 verse 5 where Jesus makes the promise, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And folks, everything happens starting with a promise from God. What God wants to do in your life starts with a promise in the Word, a prophetic promise that's declared over you. That would have been a good place to say amen, but that's all right. We're still just getting into this. This is actually just a recap because I know some of you weren't here. Just picking up where we were last week because I want to move on from that. Then the very next verse, verse 6, the disciples start talking to Jesus about restoring the kingdom to Israel. It's like, let's get rid of the Romans. Let's have you on your throne in Jerusalem. Wow, that will be great. Jesus starts to change their perceptions. Anybody found that God's been doing that in your life? Who's been finding a lot of that been happening recently? I really am talking to the right bunch of people this morning. I believe God is changing our mindset. See, our mindset has been about, God, make my life comfortable. God, all the blessings, please. And we believe in the blessings, but we also believe that there is a kingdom that God's got us part of and that God's got a purpose in the earth and that he's changing our perceptions, that it's not just us, me, and maybe the dog. But there's a world out there that the kingdom wants to break into. verse 7, Jesus answering them says, "It is not for you to know what the Father has put in his own authority." Many times we are wanting to know things and God's wanting us to simply trust. We have to learn to live with mystery and unanswered questions. The reason we want to know why is because we want to control. We want to feel secure. We want to decide whether we will do what God says to do or not, based on our reasoning and our knowledge. And God says, "Trust me. Ask if you want, that's fine. But he might not tell you. He might just say, live with mystery. I know what I'm doing." See, God is God. He has a plan and he knows what he's doing. And we get to come along for the ride. It is quite a ride. The next verse talks about priorities, about being filled with the Holy Spirit, about being his witness. Being filled with the Holy Spirit isn't just about us having, oh, well, you know, I can speak in tongues. I can prophesy. I do this and I do that. The Holy Spirit is not some badge for us to wear. He is God, and he is changing his people into the likeness of God so that we show what God is like in this earth. That's where Paul is able to say, "I'm an open letter. When you see me, you get a glimpse of what God is like." Quite a challenging concept, isn't it? To go to work and say, "If you look at me, you get an idea of what Jesus is like." I'm glad I've got some game people saying, "Amen, that's who I am." Priorities. And then down at verse 14, it talks about them continuing in prayer. And between verse 8 and verse 14 is where Jesus goes back into heaven. Oh, I would love to have been there. Can you imagine? I mean, this is not part of my message, but just when we were worshiping this morning, I was thinking of that. I was thinking about the angels and that. Can you imagine? I mean, Jesus ascends to heaven. Can you imagine being in heaven when Jesus comes into heaven, having been crucified, having risen from the dead, having paid for our sins, and he walks as a man, as God, into the very courts of heaven, having paid for our redemption? Can you imagine the hallelujahs, the worship? I mean, what a day. What a day. I mean, the poor disciples were standing there looking up to heaven going, "Oh, well, I guess he's God." But all the angels, I mean, I hope we get to see a replay of that. I mean, that must have been absolutely amazing. And it tells us here in verse 14 that they start to pray and they continue to pray. And I really believe that there's such an emphasis on prayer at the moment because God answers prayer. So he's wanting us to pray and to pray audacious, outrageous things. And next time we'll talk about tongues, because sometimes we're not bold enough to pray what God wants to pray through us. So the Holy Spirit says, "Your prayers are way too little. Here, let me have a go." But we're going to talk about that next time. But this time, I want to talk about what happens between verse 14 and when we get into chapter 2, because we're wanting to get to chapter 2. So they start praying, and then the very next verse it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether the number of names was about 120. So in other words, Luke is saying, hey, this is more than just the 12 disciples. This is 120 round figures. And it says, and in those days. Have you been in some of those days? See, I believe right now that there's many in the body of Christ that are in those days. What do I mean by that? I mean the gap between the promise and the fulfillment of a promise. See, in those days, Jesus had said, wait in Jerusalem. You're going to be filled with power. You're going to change this world. They hadn't had the answer yet. All that they had had was time and prayer and praying and declaring. Next day, doing the same. You know, after the flood, God said to Noah, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. And many people have taken that and they've split it up and there'll be, there's seed, there's time, and there's harvest. There is time between sowing a seed and reaping a harvest. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage some people here today. In fact, there's two groups of people that I have on my heart that I know God wants to minister to. The first group of people are those who are believing for what is not yet seen. Number one, let me encourage you. If it is seen, you don't have to believe for it. Oh, we wish that faith was easy. You know, the promise is great. The prayer is a challenge. And the wait time's excruciating. Anybody been there? Well, I believe God wants to encourage some hearts today. Because I believe that there are those who have a promise. And you've believed God, but you're still waiting. The fact that you are waiting does not mean that you do not believe. Let me say that again because I messed it all up. The fact that you are waiting does not mean you do not have faith. We inherit through faith and patience. Waiting does not mean there is not faith in your heart. So stop believing the lie that you do not have enough faith. You have faith. God gave you faith. Hold on to your faith. Feed your faith. Don't let go of the soil of hope that it's been planted in. See, I believe that the Lord wants to say to some people this morning to keep declaring His word and proclaiming His promises. Keep declaring His word and proclaiming His promises. Don't give up on what you are believing for. Timothy said to Paul, Paul, wage a good warfare with the prophecies that have been given to you. That tells me that when we get a promise, when we get a prophecy, when God says something over our life, I'm going to use you this way, or I'm going to bless you this way. That tells me that when a word comes forth like that, we've got a war to fight. Prophecies aren't given so that we can fill notebooks. Prophecies are given so that we have a sword to fight with. And I believe that there are people here, you've been believing God for breakthrough. You've been believing for healing. You've been believing for family members. You've been believing for that opportunity to happen. You've been believing for X, Y, and Z, and you still feel like you're at point A. My encouragement to you today is keep feeding those promises. keep feeding those promises. See, as we look in the life of Elijah got disheartened. You ever been there? I mean, this amazing prophet, this amazing man of God, has declared that he will prepare the way for the Lord, that he will go before Jesus. He gets depressed. He gets disheartened. He feels like giving up. If you've ever been there is nothing wrong with you. Let me say that again, because somebody here needs to hear that. If you've got discouraged, if you feel like giving up, if you feel like you're hopeless, if you feel like the journey is too hard, there is nothing wrong with you. You are just a human having a human experience. And God wants to speak to your heart and strengthen your heart. It says in 1 Kings 19 that an angel came and he prodded Elijah, "Wake up." Sometimes God has to do that to us. Wake up. Because we want to hide and run or do something. And the angel gives him food to eat. It's a picture for us. God wants us to eat. God wants us to feast on the promises that he's given us. So Elijah said, "Thanks a lot." Ate the food, drank the drink, went back to sleep. Friends, once is not enough. And some of you, God has come to you and encouraged you. And you feel bad because you still don't feel like getting up and doing anything. God knows that once is not enough. Today's fight will not be fought with yesterday's food. Let me say that again for you. Today's fight will not be fought with yesterday's food. Some of you need to eat today. And I believe that the Lord wants to speak into hearts here this morning and give you something to fight with, to feed your heart with the Word of God. Because as you feed your heart, you will have the strength start to rise on the inside. In fact, if you're here right now, let's look for time. If I've been speaking to you right here, right now, I just want you to close your eyes and just lift your hands to the Lord. Say, "Lord, feed me." Because I believe the Lord wants to speak a scripture into the hearts of people here this morning. There's angels that are ministering to people right now. God wants you strong. He wants you out of depression. He wants you out of that heaviness. Lord, speak to hearts. And as God gives you a word, it might be a scripture, it might be a picture, it might be a concept, write it down. God wants to feed you. As you start to write, put it on your phone if you want. I don't mind. Well, let the Lord speak to your heart. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for a release right now of every person here. Lord, speak a word. Thank you, angels. Minister. Strengthen. God, I see some people writing, some people putting it into phones. God's feeding you. He wants you strong. He wants you to be like Elijah. It says that he ran in the strength of that food 40 days. Friends, in the Bible, 40 speaks of testing, of trials. And Elijah ran in the strength of what he was fed by angels until he came into the presence of God. See, our depression, our concern, our worries, our self-doubts, our being hard on ourselves keeps us from the presence of God. And God wants to give you something that will strengthen your heart so that you rise up and you run into the presence of God. Well, that's the first group of people. For time's sake, let's move on to the second lot. I believe the second lot of people that God wants to minister to this morning are those who are waiting for answers or guidance. It's like feeling like I can't hold on to a promise because I haven't got one. It's people who you've been asking God, God, what do you want me to do? What do I do in this situation? How do I move forward? What do you want? And you're not getting answers. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What do you do when you pray and it's like heaven hasn't said anything? Well, let's come back to Acts 1. Let's find out. Back in Acts 1, verse 15 again, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples, altogether the number of names was about 120, and said, Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. Verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. What were they doing there? They were going to the Word. They were looking for the principles of the Word to guide them. Now the rest of chapter 1 talks about the appointing of Matthias to take Judas's place. Now it depends on who you listen to. Some people say, yeah, that was the right thing to do because, you know, structure's important. They were getting structure in place before the Holy Spirit fell. That's important. Other people say, nah, they really miss God. Because Paul was the apostle that was born out of time and he's the 12th disciple and Matthias, we don't hear anything about him apart from this couple of verses in Acts. You know, that was just their idea of filling in time before God showed up. I don't know which one it is. And I don't think it matters. Why? Because when we don't know what to do, God is looking to see whether we will show to the world what we believe God is like. See, Peter says, okay, scripture must be fulfilled. And then he goes back and he says, the word of God says. So we're going to take the word of God and we're going to do what the word of God says. And I believe that there's people here and you've been asking God to tell you what to do and you're frustrated because you haven't got an answer. And God's like a good father and he's looking at his son or his daughter going, okay, what are you going to do? Because our choice reveals our character, reveals the one that we want to be like. Every parent looks at their kid and as their kid is doing something, when they see a reflection of what they have taught and what they have inputted into their kid, their heart goes, yeah, that's my kid. Good choice. I didn't tell you how to do it, but you did it because that's who you are. And I believe Father wants to tell some people here this morning that he's absolutely thrilled with you. Because you haven't known what to do. He hasn't treated you as a servant and gone, I want you to do A, B, C, and then when you do C, come back to me and I'll explain how to do D. That's what you do with a servant. But God's training you as a son. And I believe that there's people here that God just wants to say to you, well done. Because when you go out and you're doing what you believe is me and you're taking authority and you're walking in the ways of the kingdom as you understand them, regardless of whether it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, I see your heart to be like me. I see your heart to have the kingdom flow in your life. I see your heart to be just like Jesus. And as a papa, that thrills me. Don't be so hard on yourself. If you don't know what to do, maybe it's because God doesn't want to tell you. He doesn't want a puppet. He wants a son or a daughter. So my encouragement is simply be anchored in the word and guided by principles. You're in that time period. You've been believing God for something. Keep feeding on the promise. Or if you're in that time period where it's like, God, I don't even know what the next season looks like. And most of the world's like that at the moment. Do we plan a holiday? Do we dream of going somewhere? Will we be able to do that next year? Most of the world's going, we don't even know. Don't know what next month will look like. And that's okay. Walk with God. He's your papa. And in closing, I want to encourage you, again with the first words there of verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up. Peter stood up. And I believe that this is a time that we're living in when God is going to call for the ones in his body to stand up. Say, yes, keep praying, but there is also a time when we need to stand up and say, God, you have said. Or to stand up and say, no, I don't believe that. I believe that God is good. And I believe dot, dot, dot. It's time for his body to start to stand up. It's time for us to go after the things that God has said is ours. Let's pray. Papa, you're such a good God. You're such a good God. And Lord, I thank you that you know exactly what you are doing. Thank you, Lord. I'm just reminded of when we were out in the prayer room this morning and just praying for pursuit and praying for this meeting and that. And just looking outside, we've got scaffolding down the side of the building, and there's a big sign on the scaffolding which says, Project Underway. And I believe that's where the kingdom is at the moment. There's a project underway. God is doing something, and we might not quite see it yet, but we're pushing him for it. Yes, that's a good place to say amen. Well, it's gone 12 o'clock, so it's time to wrap up here.